bbc.com if you want to talk to us about how you decide what persuades you, what puts you off giving money to particular groups. We'll have your say at bbc.com. Now, Alistair has just given us a call from Switzerland. I think you've got a question for us, Alistair. Welcome to World Have Your Say.
Thanks. 2 points, really. Recently on the TV in the UK, which I'm sure your contributors based in the UK would have seen, was a programme entitled The Trouble with Aid. And much of it involved the corruption. So for every $10 spent, $5 or $6 was being corrupted away. And secondly, where food is involved in regions with civil war, the competing military forces are commandeering that food in order to keep their armies well-fed and have the ability to fight. I wondered what your contributors have said, because they haven't, in the first 40 minutes, mentioned corruption.
And Mwenga, who's in Zambia, Alistair, agrees and makes a similar point. The poverty reported in the Western media is true. The majority of us Africans are poor because of corruption. Our politicians have gone too far. Sally, how do you address the problem of corruption?
I think, we're talking about pity advertising, and I think kind of a problem with that we've come back to again and again is it kind of obscures the picture. It oversimplifies things. And behind it, there's, you know, Africa's a more complicated place, and corruption undoubtedly is one of the problems that it obscures. Again, I can only speak from Africa's perspective, and we're very lucky in that we work just with very directly with a grassroots organisation in northern Ghana, and we do not experience or tolerate corruption. And you can see all of our accounts on our website. You know, we're very, very transparent. And I guess the answer really is you need to know what you're giving to. You need to be able to see how your money is going to be fed through the organisation you're choosing to give to. And I would add to that, you need to understand what the end point of that money is. You know, what are you investing in? Are you investing in a long-term change? Are you giving temporary relief? You need to be informed, and you need to know what the end point for that aid is going to be before you give.
And when I mentioned Gina's tweet from Houston about the accounting practices of the charities that she looks at when she's deciding whether or not to donate. Catherine, is that an important part of how charities must think about selling themselves?
Well, yes, and in the UK, I think a lot of charities really focus on tackling corruption and being increasingly transparent. I think if you look sort of 10, 20 years ago, as well as Africa changing so much, you also have to remember that the aid industry has changed massively. So, yes, you know, a few decades ago, corruption was a huge issue. It hasn't completely gone away, but particularly UK aid from our government, they have huge focus on transparency, knowing where the money goes. Aid also is channeled to different things these days. So, for example, we give a lot of money to Gavi, which is a vaccine institution that helps get vaccines to people in the developing country. And through that mechanism, they focus a lot on transparency and making sure that very little, if any, goes to corruption. If they do identify corruption, it's really heavily dealt with. So there's a lot of mechanisms these days that has changed in the aid industry so that we can definitely see that we're tackling corruption and making sure our aid is as transparent as possible. I'd also say, you know, corruption is another issue around the politics of development. And so, for example, right now there are a lot of campaigns to make sure that international companies and oil and gas companies, for example, are transparent about the money that they get from revenue from mining and so on in Africa is transparent, and that it doesn't just get lost to certain dictators. And there's new legislation in the US and in Europe to deal with that. So there's a lot of ways that different organisations, not just the aid industry, but the others, are looking at corruption and transparency. And if we can really tackle that issue, that will really, really help.
Alistair, what would persuade you to give to a particular organisation in terms of being sure that the money wasn't going to the wrong places?
Well, I would imagine that with your contributors who are investing in business at a grassroots level, and providing medicines. My concern is, which would stop me, is the Oxfam's, the Médecins Sans Frontières, Red Cross, are providing food aid, and that's where corruption and misappropriation when the food doesn't get to the people, and that's what would deter me. What would encourage me is your two contributors who are working for organisations that are not providing either cash or they're providing medicines and investing in business. Those would encourage me to invest.
OK, thanks very much, Alistair, for calling in from Switzerland. If you'd like to do the same and call in from wherever you're listening to World Have Your Say live on the BBC to talk about this issue of the images used to market fundraising campaigns for good causes, for charities, with particular regard to countries in Africa, you can do that by calling country code 4420 31 624242. We'll call you back and try to get you on the air if we can. Someone who has called us but we couldn't quite get a decent enough line to him is Abdi Rahman in Mogadishu, Somalia. So he dropped us an email instead and said the worst drought in 60 years hit Somalia last year, and I was among the team who devoted and donated for the people affected. The images of impoverished and malnourished young Somalis were seen on TVs around the world, and thanks to the many who donated. Well, thanks for getting in touch, Abdi Rahman. Other people have made a distinction during this discussion between emergency aid for something that's happening right now and the long-term campaigns, as we've heard about from other organisations. Catherine, is there a distinction there, perhaps, in the sort of images that are useful? Perhaps in an emergency, as Abdi Rahman alludes to there, it's pretty important to see the suffering that's happening right now.
Yeah, and I agree with what he was saying. I mean, I was working for an agency that was really trying to get the issue of the Somalia famine into the news over here to get politicians to take action and act. And it was quite often a really frustrating time. There was a lot going on in the news that wasn't anything to do with Somalia. So every time we thought our story was going to get into the papers, something else took it over. And journalists said, we really want to cover this, but this issue's, you know, the riots were happening in London, so therefore we've got to put that on the front pages instead. And we were saying, it's an emergency. You really, really need to cover this issue. And, you know, many did. The BBC were out there very early. The challenge is, and he's right, in those situations, those images, they're reality, and the news has to report what's going on in the ground. So those images do show that. And in the US, for example, they weren't really covering the famine, and it got onto the front page of the New York Times from a very hard-hitting image of a starving child. That's what made the New York Times run the story eventually, after it going on for weeks without much coverage over there. And of course, it's important what the news report, because that puts pressure on politicians to act on the emergency. That said, it's a shame that you have to wait to get to that point before action's taken. And that's why we need to find a way to communicate about the ongoing issues and these longer term campaigns that invest in, you know, farming, agriculture, food businesses in these countries, to help them make the defences so that when drought happens, it doesn't always lead to famine. Okay. And how we make those stories of the longer term work and effort that's needed interesting to the media is a real challenge. Okay. Before it gets to the famine stage.
In a moment, we're going to speak to Rachel Aranightway, who's a radio presenter in Kampala, Uganda. But first, let me introduce you all to John Bird, who's in the UK, founder of The Big Issue. And John, just briefly explain what The Big Issue is for those who aren't familiar.
The Big Issue is a street paper. Started in London in 1991. It gives poor people the means of making money so that they can begin the slow process of winning control of their lives. We spread all over Europe, we spread all over Africa, and in Asia, South America and North America. So we're a kind of international movement now, and it is all about a hand up, not a hand out. So we've always been very critical of short-termism around giving relief. So obviously we bear in mind that you've got to give relief to get people stable so that they can then move on and win control of their lives.
And then
the debate that I find very difficult about Africa is the amount of effort over 40 or 50 years that has gone into really short-termism. It's never really gone into developing the superstructure and developing the chances of Africans themselves winning control of their lives. That, I think, is still a major issue in the year 2013.
and in the way that these campaigns are sold, if you like, to people in developed countries. We're talking about the images that are used, and that's what Oxfam's talking about today. Do you agree with their premise that more positive imagery, or at least more balanced imagery, must be used to present the full picture of what's going on in countries in Africa?
I think Oxfam is dead right. We've got to get away from seeing Africa as a basket case, as they call it. We've got to see Africa as an aspiring economy, as a place of enormous historical, cultural, social richness, but also a country which is blighted by the remnants of imperialism, the droughts and all those other things. And in a way, we've almost got to try and build in, as your speaker was saying earlier, that when you have a drought, it doesn't lead to famine and it doesn't lead to the end of the lives of millions of people. You've got to be able to factor in not just environmental changes, but historical changes, political changes that take place. And I think that the more that we listen to people like Oxfam, who are saying, you know, we've got to present a much more positive image, which you need positive, because why would I want to keep giving to a problem that doesn't seem to go away? It's the bottomless pit argument. So I really do agree with what I've read about the report today.
I'll bring in Rachel here in Kampala, a radio presenter there. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Some of our guests earlier on were referring to the sorts of posters that people here in London, for example, might see on the trains and the buses and so on. Let me read you one that's on a train right now in the British capital. It says this: remember your first period, leaving school, getting married, having your first child. A nanny does, she's 12, alongside a picture of a young girl, not sure exactly where the girl is from. Do you think that sort of advertising for that sort of campaign to get some of the world's poorest girls into school is a good way of getting money for that particular cause?
It works for a while, but after a while it gets tired, you know. I think like the person you were talking to earlier was saying, we need to expose the positive side of Africa and expose its richness, its potential, its resources, and not just dwell on the gloom and the drought and disaster that's happening in Africa to be able to get aid. It's not all doom and gloom in Africa. There are certain areas that are doing well. So I really think that